Day number three of the 2024 Rochester International Jazz Festival with Mike LaDon. Mike, welcome back to Rochester.
Thanks, Derek. Always a pleasure to see you and this town. Love it.
So the last time we spoke in person, you were talking about this idea you had of wanting to do a big band album with a choir. Now we have wonderful. Congratulations on it.
Thanks, man. But it's actually just the quartet with the choir. The big band was before that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, I did it. What can I say, sir? I have a friend who was able to support me in that financially, so made a dream come true, for sure.
So going back, what inspired you to do that concept with the choir, with the quartet?
Well, I've been listening to, actually, when I was back playing with Milt Jackson, I was always with Bob Cranshaw and Mickey Roker, and they were always listening to gospel music and putting their headphones on my head and saying, check this out. So I got into it, you know, and now I have this huge collection of gospel music, and that's what really, I thought, oh, I'd love to get a piece of that choir when they're riffing and put some jazz organ in there. I love gospel organ too, but jazz organ's different. So that was my thought, and now it's a realization.
Talk about the set list you created for the album, because it's such a cool thing. You got Candy Staten, you have Candy Staten, and you have everything else, Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell, and so many other cool things you chose. How did you break that down and make those choices, though? You know, I want this, I have to have that. How did you do that?
It's difficult. But I, actually, my friend Alvin Queen, the great drummer, he had me do a few arrangements of gospel tunes, and I made a recording with him back in the early 2000s. And that's what got me thinking about Let Us Go. But also, it's all geared towards my daughter, Mary, who's disabled. So these are all messages about her and from her and about our life together. So I created the Disability Pride Parade in New York City in 2015, which all the disability community comes to. And my daughter is the Grand Marshal. And I could hear her saying, let us go, come with me down the street, because we're always right in front of the parade. So that had to be on there. And the, you know, Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, that's about my love for my family. And Wonderful, again, it's a song I wrote. But it's in the gospel tradition, and it's self-explanatory. And Bridge Over Troubled Water, and so on and so forth. It's all about the journey and how family sticks together and how you've always got that support and that foundation if you have that kind of love.
Speaking with Mike LaDon, Mike, talk about the legacy of Milt Jackson. We just had his centennial, and talk about his importance to the music and to you.
Well, he was the, first of all, before I ever met Milt Jackson, his band with Cedar Walton, Ray Brown, and Mickey Roker, or Bob Cranshaw, and Mickey, and or Billy Higgins, that quartet was my favorite band, so I'd go to see them all the time, and I'd always be there. If they were at the Vanguard, I was there every night for the entire week. I couldn't believe how on the money every single song was, and of course his playing was just magnificent. So, and Cedar Walton was one of my big influences, so obviously I was a big fan. And then my friend James Williams was playing with him at the time, and he couldn't make some gigs, so he knew how much I loved Milt. And he was nice enough to send me the material in advance and threw me in there as a sub. God bless him. And so that was the beginning. And then I eventually, he got so busy, I wound up being in the band. So, I mean, James I'm talking about. So, and then I really was very standoffish around Milt Jackson. I couldn't even really speak around him for a while because he was such a big icon, such a big idol of mine, you know? And I kept my mouth shut, kept my ears open. And after a while, we started to get friendlier and friendlier. And by the end, we were like family. You know, we were always hanging out together, going to hear music, and of course, playing music. We played all the time. I was with him for 11 years. So he was the hugest influence in my musical life. And I can hear him in me when I listen back to my records. Probably people don't know that, but there's a lot of Milt Jackson in me, and I'm proud to say that.
Speaking of Mike LaDon, so for folks who are just learning about his legacy and his music, where would you guide them first?
To my music?
To Milt's music.
Oh, Milt's music? Oh, Bags Groove with Miles Davis. Percy Heath, Kenny Clarke, Horace Silver, or Monk. That is the beginning of one of the groovinest records, and then of course all of his stuff with his own quartet, MJQ. I mean, he's made probably more records than anybody. And Lucky Thompson with Milt Jackson, You know, and he played with everyone because he is the innovator of the Charlie Parker style on vibes, and still unequaled in that realm. No one even gets close. But besides that, he changed the sound of the vibes. You know, he changed from Lionel Hampton. You hear a big difference because people don't know Milt Jackson was actually started out as a young man as a singer and a guitar player. And he had a slow vibrato. And he told me when they gave him the vibes at school, he realized it had this little vibrato that you could turn on, and he could turn it on slow, and it was just like his voice. And you could hit the note, and it still rang out. And that did it. He was like, that's it. That's my voice now. And it sure was. So he became this crooner on the vibes. He took these steel bars and made them into a human voice.
Incredible. Speaking of Mike LaDon. So for you, Mike, why is it important to use tunes from the great African-American songbook? So many artists, for whatever reason, shy away from using the great songs from Motown or even from the 30s or 40s or 50s. But you've really embraced that. Why?
Well, I have to say that, you know, Black American music is my favorite music since I was a little boy. You know, I grew up on James Brown and all of the Stax artists and all of the R&B. That was my thing. I wasn't a big Beatles guy, even though my sister was. And we used to have fights about that. And so I've always been there. It's just a natural tendency. Maybe it's because my dad was a jazz musician. So I grew up with jazz from the womb, you know, and I heard all of that soulful music in my house all the time. So that's where my heart was. And then when I heard R&B, I just loved it. And I think the R&B from back then when I was growing up was some of the greatest music, too. I mean, they had great harmonies, melodies, and lyrics. So what I did was I realized, why don't I take those tunes and just, you know, everybody's making jazz more pop-sounding. Why don't I take some of them R&B tunes and make them more jazz-sounding? And of course, Charles Erlin was a pioneer, and others. I'm not the first to think of that, but I did make it a main focus of what I do, because also the people that were coming to see me when I had this gig at Smoke for a long time, they were young, and I knew they didn't want to hear All the Things You Are or How High the Moon. So I said, let's try Michael Jackson or Earth, Wind, and Fire. And then they'd come up right after the set and say, was that Earth, Wind, and Fire? I never knew jazz could do that. And I said, well, guess what? That's what jazz has always done. It's always taken the pop songs of the day and redressed them up so we could improvise over them. So that's a really a natural thing, part of the history, I think. And it worked. You know, I wound up being there for 20 years on that gig because of that. And here's a great story. There's a DJ at Sirius Satellite Radio whose son is 21, he was going out with a new girlfriend, and he said he had to tell me this story, that his son was bringing the girlfriend over to introduce him to mom and dad, her to mom and dad, and she said, he said to the son, well, where are you going to go tonight, son? And he goes, I don't know, I was thinking about this and that, and the girl said to him, I want to go to Smoke and see Mike LaDon, because I was there a couple of weeks ago, and it was so much fun. She's 21 years old. I said, now that's success. Period. Boom.
Michael down here on Jazz 90.1 playing tonight. Mike, thanks so much again for taking jazz further and all the work you do in terms of promoting the rights of those who can't speak for themselves as well as people who are learning about jazz and making this world a better place. So, Mike, thank you.
Well, thanks for your support, Derek. I appreciate you.